Hi, I'm Greg from Omaha.
I'm Michael from Baltimore.
Hey, I'm Dave from Portland, Oregon.
The Sound of Young America is produced independently and supported by listeners like you and me.
If you'd like to support the show like I did,
just visit MaximumFun.org/donate.
I'm Jesse Thorne, live on tape from my house in Los Angeles. It's The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International.
Hey, it's The Sound of Young America. I'm Janet Varney, filling in for Papa Jesse Thorne. My guest is Danny Pudi. He's an actor whose numerous television appearances include ER, The West Wing, and Gilmore Girls, but I'm guessing you probably know him best for his role as Abed on NBC's Community. That show follows an ensemble cast at a local community college. Now, some of his best moments on the show are the tags that he does at the end with his co-star Donald Glover. Now, in this one that you're about to hear, they put on a rather bizarre fake morning talk show, and you'll hear Joel McHale as their guest.
Really appreciate you doing this.
Sure.
And 3, 2, 1. Troy and Abed in the morning, and we're back. Look who's here, Jeff Winger. Jeff, how do you stay so fit?
Diet, exercise, genetics.
Sure.
Okay, so it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
Ooh, my name's Jeff Winger. Ooh.
Hey, I'm Jeff Winger. I'm so tall.
This watch is expensive.
Muscles are everywhere.
Oh, that was really funny.
Guys, what's going on? Where are the cameras?
Oh, we're not filming this.
Now, who'd want to watch this?
Oh, guys, it's 6 a.m. Jeez.
We're not going to have him back.
Good morning, America. Good morning, Janet Varney.
I don't think you can say good morning, America. I think we might be sued.
You're right.
There's an actual
good morning, United States of America.
It's good. Very presidential.
Nice adjustment, right?
Thinking about running for office?
You know, there was a time when I did think about that, but then my mom saw some videos and bits I did, and she was like, don't worry, you'll never be president.
That's a good impression of your mom. I've never met your mom. I think everybody I've talked to feels the same way about this pilot. It's one of those pilots that feels like, oh, it's already a show that's been on the air for 2 years. Like, everybody was so comfortable. The rapport was so great.
Yeah. I think that, you know, when I read the pilot, that was my first, like, take from it. I was literally trembling because I saw everything so clearly. And that's so rare, I think, when you read a first script of a pilot, because
yeah.
It's sort of like a best hits.
You know,
you take a bunch of bits, you take a bunch of character and a bunch of jokes, and you're supposed to really show a network and everyone, a viewer, of what the show could be.
Yeah.
And right away, I really visualized every character. I saw them very clearly. I saw this world. I saw this world of, like, second chances and just really defeated people who are all looking to just sort of form this bond with other people who are also defeated and who accept their flaws. And it feels like just this great ragtag bunch of people who need to prove something, that they can accomplish something. And so, when I read the script by Dan Harmon, I was just blown away by it, because for a pilot and in 22 minutes, I just felt like it was so full.
It was so complete.
It was so full. Yeah, jokes and also just really good character, heartfelt moments. And especially my character, as soon as I read Abed's character, I was like, wow, literally he was asked what time it is. And next thing you know, he told Jeff Winger, a character played by Joel McHale, everything about his life, about how his father hates America, but not America. You know, how his father left his wife, or how his whole family split up, and how he's just obsessed with pop culture. And this is everything just kind of spewed out of his mouth. And then, of course, one of my favorite beats is at the end of the pilot when, everyone is making these communicating non-verbally. And Abed completely thinks he's going deaf. And I just thought, this is just going to be one of the most fun characters ever to play.
Yeah. It's fair to say, as actors, that there are a certain number of jobs that we do that, you know, you get excited about after the fact. And you sort of, and because even a project that, you know, a viewer might watch and say, wow, this really doesn't succeed for multiple reasons, or this kind of works, but I didn't like it or whatever. I think you and I are very similar in that when we commit to something and we're doing a job, you fall in love with the people that you work with and you really want it to succeed. And you start to maybe coax yourself into believing that it's good. And then, and I will do that all the way up through like a screening and I'll tell everyone how great it is. And then someone who has the same taste as me will see it, who had nothing to do with it, and think I'm crazy. But this is not that. This is a show that you could actually feel 100% committed to on every level for the right reasons from the very beginning.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is a relief. I think you do fall. You tend to fall in love with things as an actor. I think you kind of have to.
Yeah.
You have to sort of fall in love with the role you're playing, the people you're around, the world you're creating, just to make everything better. Otherwise, if you work a 16-hour day and you hate what you're doing, it's just going to make everything a little bit more difficult, and it's hard to really be fully invested. But yeah, there's been plenty of times where I was in a play or something, and I was like, oh, that was fun. I did a bunch of theater in the Northwoods, Wisconsin, and I could say that whole experience, I don't know how successful that was, even though ultimately as a person, I think it was a really good experience. But I remember leaving there and talking about something. And I think my brother was like, why did you do that? There was nothing good.
Oh, no.
And, there's just certain things like that where you're like, oh, yeah, you know what? These aren't necessarily successes in the way you think they are in
right.
terms of like, maybe it's not the greatest play or
right.
maybe that wasn't the best character choice.
Right.
But you learn other things about it, and hopefully, you don't have too many of those experiences. But yeah, I'm definitely lucky with Community because it's overall a great, great experience.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times, let me ask you this, have you played a character named Sanjay?
It's right now. This is actually really funny. I have played 4 different Sanjays, and I literally just auditioned for a 5th Sanjay yesterday.
Okay.
So, 85% of my auditions are Sanjay.
Let me ask you this, and this is not maybe as expertly crafted of a question as I would like. I can't even say the word crafted, so that's not a good start. But
coughed.
What? Thank you.
Yeah, this is my impression of Chevy Chase.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
I won't ask you to do impressions of everyone. In fact, I don't think I've asked you to do an impression of anyone. You've just volunteered them.
Hey, you're welcome, United States of America.
The tally right now is Danny's mom, check,
yep.
and Chevy Chase, check. Here's where I'm going with this, and maybe you've answered questions like this before. But without getting too terribly serious, mm-hmm. I'm a Caucasian lady.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I just found that out, actually. I've had the tests, and they've come back positive. I don't get a breakdown, and the breakdown being a description of a character that you're about to audition for. It's not always named Rebecca or Sandy. And so I feel like there are certain limitations placed on me as far as typecasting goes. But You have such a healthy, great sense of humor about it, and I guess there's no point in feeling another way necessarily.
Yeah, I'm not caged
but
by
what is
Sanjay.
That? Yeah, but I mean, but like, you know what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Like Sanjay typecasting or being sort of like, how often do you get the opportunity to audition for something that has absolutely no base in ethnicity? That it's just a person.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of my auditions have some basis in ethnicity. And I think that, there is a certain...
not to say that races shouldn't be represented
yeah.
adequately. Like, it's not that, it should be blind casting all the time.
Yeah, I mean, my character in Community is half Palestinian, half Caucasian. We, last year, discovered he was half Polish. So, gratulacje. Jestem zadowolony. And...
what a coincidence.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. Your mom, can you believe it? Yes, Danny, I can. Check. I think most of the time there's this sense or this, I think people feel a need to sort of label a character. And I get it, because I am half Polish and half Indian. So it's not like, 250 million Americans are like me. And so on television, I think there's probably, it's been rare to see someone of my, I guess, ethnic makeup. So I think there has to be sort of... I feel like people feel like there needs to be an explanation for why that
right.
character exists.
Right.
And I think Sanjay is an easy way to sort of be like, oh, I get it. This character's Indian, and it's a very, very Indian sounding name, even though I'm really trying to push Jay.
Yeah.
Let's make Jay.
Yeah.
The new Sanjay.
And in fairness, I think you've played at least one Raj.
I've played one Raj, 4 Sanjays, Mahir, Arash, Abed, Safa, that was a good one.
Oh.
I'm trying to think. And a Josh.
See, there we go.
Yeah, who was
we
a hot dog.
In the Josh.
Yeah, he was a hot dog stand attendant, which was near and dear to my heart. But, you know, I'm okay with it as long as the roles aren't really, really over the top, beating over the top and you know, like, you know, full of things that are just not really representative of the Indian population. And for me, I am not your typical Indian. You know, I didn't grow up speaking Hindi or Telugu or any Indian language. I just grew up speaking Polish. Mm-hmm. So it would be even more difficult for me if they were expecting me to be like, now tell us about the Indian American experience.
Right.
For me, it's just about a very strange experience where I'm fascinated by fake mustaches and, you know, random relatives and that kind of thing.
Production of The Sound of Young America is supported in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com. The Sound of Young America is supported in part by VG Kids, printers of T-shirts and other merchandise for touring bands, radio stations, websites, festivals, Derby Girls, record labels, national brands, and all the rabble-rousers, hackers, and entrepreneurs in between. Online at vgkids.com.
Hey, it's The Sound of Young America, and I'm Janet Varney filling in for Papa Jesse Thorne. My guest is Danny Pudi. You probably know him best for his role as Ovid on NBC's Community. It's impossible for me not to ask things like, what was your childhood like? Even though that's such a broad question. But I think, because I want to kind of get into, again, we've sort of teased this idea of improv. But I feel like it helps to know how you were treated as a kid and whether or not you were popular or whether you – I know you're a huge sports fan. Did you play a lot of sports? Did you
– Yeah. You know, you guys can't see this, but I'm approximately 6 foot, 140 pounds.
Okay. When are you going to get fat?
That's the thing. And I've been like sort of fragile, lanky, a little awkward shaped my entire life. So – that bodes really well when you go to an all-boys high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I was always, you know, really into sports. And, you know, I had a great childhood. You know, a lot of friends, had good friends, you know. And but the one thing I think I realized pretty early on is like, oh, yeah, we're not going to be a professional athlete any day. You know, I broke my collarbone in playing football in high school.
But
that
you
kind
played
of thing.
Football. I mean, there.
It was about 2 weeks. It was a great experience. I decided to run. And so I've been a runner ever since, which I love to do. I ran track and field in high school. And I think growing up, overall, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and then northwest side of Chicago is where my family currently lives. And it was a really exciting and, you know, kind of absurd childhood because, I grew up with my mom and my grandparents speaking Polish and they didn't speak any English. And so every day was really sort of an adventure. You know, I would go to school. I went to Catholic school, which was great. And we'd go to church every day and I was an altar boy and I saw a lot of strange things. And and then I would come home and my grandparents would make me eat soup and a lot of Polish food. And then we'd have all kinds of strange relatives visiting at any moment because we were like, sort of like the first family in America and a lot of people would come and we'd be the home base, you know. So like when Vujek or any kind of uncle or aunt that's not really your uncle aunt comes to America, they stay with us for a week to get settled in and figure things out.
Yeah.
So you'd be sharing your bed with random relatives all the time and you'd be like, who are these people?
You know? How many siblings do you have?
I have an older brother and a younger sister. I'm the middle child. Yeah. But it was very creative. It was good for creativity because my family always encouraged the arts, which I'm lucky. And so my mom would force me to dance, would force me to take piano lessons. And
I love that you started out with they encouraged creativity and the arts, and then it turned into my mom forced me to dance.
Yeah, encourage and force are very closely related. You know, I learned to appreciate it. And at the time, though, it was, you know, it was rough because I was, you know, I don't look Polish and I grew up in a very Polish neighborhood in Chicago. And so, you know, I was always like the one kid who had to sort of explain why he's there, your purpose. And as a kid, that's kind of tricky because you're searching for identity. And one of the biggest things you want to do is just blend in.
Sure.
But when people are constantly like, you're brown. What are you doing here? How do you speak Polish? And I'd be like, well, my dad's from India and, you know, he's got a big mustache like you do and your dad. So we're both on the same page, you know.
You never said, I'm an actor researching a role.
Yeah. I'm getting real. This is my method approach.
I'm undercover busting a drug ring.
As an 8-year-old, I'm an undercover polka ring.
Yeah.
No, I so that was something that I was always aware of, you know, mm-hmm. comedically. And so just because whenever I would tell people my last name is Pudi, you know, but my first name is Daniel and I'm named after a Polish Christian rock singer. Immediately, most people's response is like, seriously, what? You know? And I think that, you know, I didn't realize this was sort of funny or anything. It just kind of was what it was. You know, I'd go home, we'd speak Polish and,
You'd listen to the Polish Christian rock singer.
We'd listen to Daniel. And
Daniel, what's his last name? Or just he's a one name or he's like,
he's a prince. He's a prince. Yeah, he's Daniel. You know, we would watch TV. And my grandma was like really into TV and stuff. And she would watch TV with me, which was great. But she didn't speak any English. So I'd have to translate stuff for her, which was really fun because she like loved like the Love Boat. Oh. T.J. Hooker was like her favorite show. And so I would be translating episodes of like The Love Boat and T.J. Hooker to my grandma from like English to Polish. And everything turned into like just a really weird comedy. Everything turned into Monty Python when I would explain any kind of drama to my grandma about what was happening with William Shatner.
And you had an awareness of that comedy even as a child. You were like, you know what? This is absurd.
This is really absurd. I think it was just a very colorful kind of upbringing. And I think TV at that time was also very colorful.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday morning cartoons and, you know, all those great sitcoms, you know, back in the day. And I was obsessed with Monty Python and Saturday Night Live as a kid. Didn't get it, but I remember just trying so hard to stay awake on Saturday nights to watch it with my older brother who did get it, and I would laugh watching him laugh.
Oh,
you know, it was that kind of thing where I was like, I don't know what's going on right now, but they seem like we seem like we're getting in trouble, and I kind of like it.
Oh, that's great.
It's that kind of thing, yeah. You know. And I remember watching Monty Python, and it was sort of like my family. It was like, it was just very absurd. People taking themselves very seriously,
mm-hmm.
but then doing very like absurd things. You watch Holy Grail, and they're taking themselves so seriously, but they're using a coconut to simulate the sound of a horse. And I just thought that that was kind of like my upbringing, like everyone taking themselves real seriously, which they have to as immigrants coming to America. You know, the first thing you want to do is kind of just get settled in and
sure.
And you know, kind of, you know, build a little empire. And so, but at the same time, you can't help but acknowledge that there's 50 of us living in the same house. We're brown, but we're Polish, and everyone has giant mustaches.
Donde está la biblioteca? Me llamo T-Bone, la araña discoteca.
Discoteca, muñeca, la biblioteca. Es un bigote grande, pero manteca.
Manteca, bigote, gigante, pequeño. Cabeza es nieve, cerveza es bueno.
Buenos días, me gustas papas frías. Bigote de la cabra, es Camarón Díaz. Yeah, boy, boy.
Yeah.
What?
That was Danny Pudi alongside Donald Glover on NBC's Community. It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Janet Varney in for Jesse Thorne. Danny Pudi is my guest. You mentioned loving SNL and Monty Python when you were younger. Do you remember when your first exposure to improv was? And you were in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always think, you know, for me growing up in Tucson, improv was not part of a collective conscious that I think it has the benefit of being in Toronto or Chicago, a place where there's incredible, incredible resources for improv. I mean, I watched Whose Line Is It Anyway, and I thought that was the most crazy, out there, amazing art I'd ever seen. But what was it like for you being in Chicago, and when did you first get exposed to it?
You know, I wasn't – Chicago's obviously – it's the home of Second City and Improv Olympic. And it's just such an amazing, I think, training ground. And they've done such a great job of making improv its own art. I wasn't really aware of that growing up. You know, I grew mm-hmm. up sort of a sheltered, like, immigrant life, you know, mm-hmm. where we literally go to Polish dancing. My mom would put me in plays. I was, like, in Sound of Music and things like that, you know. And so I wasn't really aware of it, you know, until probably, like, you know, college is when I really started to kind of become a little bit more aware of it.
But you went to Marquette, right?
I went to Marquette University.
So you actually had to leave Chicago to become acquainted with improv.
That's exactly – which kind of makes sense for my life. I constantly have to leave things and then realize they're valuable. So I went to Marquette where Chris Farley went to school. And I won a scholarship there. And in honor of his name, you know, they established the scholarship based on using humor in a positive manner. And
how did you qualify?
Yeah, I think you had to be nominated by the theater department, and then we had to like put together a little video, and I think I sang a Polish song, and completely didn't know what I was supposed to do. And it ended up working out great. I've actually, you know, since reconnected with the Farley brothers, and we've performed some improv shows together, so it's been really cool. But that really sort of was the kick in the butt I needed in terms of like, okay, it's not just about being funny. You have to actually study this. You know, there's a way of actually, kind of figuring out how to get better in terms of the comedy muscle. And that's what led me to Second City to study there. And I finished the conservatory program there. And I think being there was a really magical time in my life in terms of being an artist, because it was like 2.5 to 3 years in Chicago where I literally just lived comedy. You know, I would take classes and then watch my teachers perform at night. And then I was also performing with a group called Stir Friday Night, which is an Asian American comedy troupe. Playing a lot of Sanjays. Uh-huh. Yep. Working my Sanjay muscle. And, it was just a really like special time for me because I was just living comedy in a setting in Chicago, which I think is perfect for that because the audiences want it. They really respond to it. It's cold, which I think is just for whatever reason, I think it's just good for comedy a little bit more on any uncomfortable element. I always think it's pretty good. And it was just so inspiring. And I remember watching a show at Second City around those days, which is the first time I saw a show at Second City, was not until I graduated college. They do a sketch show, which is all sketch comedy. And then at the end of the sketch show, they'll do an improvise segment. And they'll improvise hoping that some of the improvisation leads to future sketches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching the sketch show and just being blown away. I thought it was great. It was really irreverent, political. It was had some just great, absurd characters. Super fun. It's like watching Saturday Night Live or Monty Python's Flying Circus live, you know.
Yeah.
And then at the end, there was this improv show that was, completely unexpected. They used audience suggestions, and it was just so wonderful to watch. And also, so it was a revelation to me to be like, oh, okay, so the improvisation is not just them being wacky on stage. There's a purpose to it. They're using it to craft another show or develop characters.
Right. It's a very specific type of improv. And I think some people think of improvisation as maybe short form, which short form, for those of you who don't know, would be more kind of game stuff, like going to seeing Whose Line Is It Anyway, where it's a series of kind of setups and punchlines, a little bit more fast paced, maybe more like seeing stand up, where you've kind of got the payoff of the laugh all the time. And then you have long form improv, which is more scene-based and more character-based. And there are a lot of different schools in terms of how to approach that long form. But especially if you're working towards building a sketch out of it, I think that, you know, sometimes improv seems better than it is because you've got that live, crackly energy of everybody understands this is being made up on the spot. So maybe there's an element of forgiveness that's happening. You're laughing. You're giving laughs easier, giving them up faster and more generously. And you're also and then of course the team is feeding off of each other and that spontaneity. And I feel like you might come away from that with a tape of that show thinking, oh my gosh, so many great ideas came out of that. Right. And then if you really were forced to kind of sit down and try to build a sketch around some of that stuff, it might not work because that energy is so of the moment.
Right.
And if you're really great and you can build and develop sketches out of this amazing improv muscle you've cultivated, that's a huge success.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why it's very difficult to see any improv on television. It hasn't really made that transition, but I think it's still so useful in many other moments. You know, I think that there's still something to be said about improvising or ad-libbing as your character in something. You
and
know?
You and Donald do that. A lot of people talk about specifically your dynamic, the two of you.
Yeah.
Getting the opportunity to do that.
That's something that we have a really fun time with. At the end of our show, we get to do these little tags that are about 30 seconds, 40 seconds. And Donald Glover, who is an amazing, amazing comedian, brilliant comedic mind, and I wish I was half as smart as him, he and I do these bits, and it's great. And it's fun because we get like an idea or a concept, and sometimes they're fully fleshed out. Other times, it's just an idea, and they're like, here, we have this thing. We want you to be Bert and Ernie. go. And we'll just kind of, you know, we'll come up with something. And that's just fun, just to force yourself to create, you know, and know that you can do it. You know, something will come of it.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we have such a good creative team and directors and producers who eventually will form something or mold something that makes sense.
Right.
If it was up to us, it might be funny, but I don't know how much sense it would make. Which to me, that's if I could do that, that's fine with me because I like when things don't make sense.
Attention students, this is Abed.
And the Disco Spider.
Here at Greendale.
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 Say what?
A few quick announcements. Announcement number one, all announcements will be cool starting right now.
Announcement number two, butt soup.
Announcement number three, I am not Haji from Johnny Quest, Jeff Winger.
On security news, you guys got to start locking the dean's door so guys like us don't get in.
Hey!
Well, I just want to thank you so much for agreeing to do this and sharing a little more of yourself with the listeners.
Thank you, Janet. I enjoyed myself.
Danny Pudi is a fantastic actor. You can watch him weekly on NBC's Community. You can also follow him on Twitter. He's at Danny Pudi. That's DannyPudi. Well, everybody, that is it for The Sound of Young America this week. I've been your host, Janet Varney. I can't believe I got asked to do this. I feel like I've gotten away with something, but I have to tell you, it was an absolute joy. Thank you so much to Jesse and to the rest of the gang at Maximum Fun and at Sound of Young America. That includes our producer, Julia Smith. Our editor is Nick White. Our music is by Dan Wally. And you can find us online at MaximumFun.org, where you can find past episodes of this show, as well as several other awesome programs, such as Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman, and My Brother, My Brother, and Me. Thanks again for listening. That's it for The Sound.